Blog Talk Radio.
The Healing Circle is a panel composed of spiritual teacher Kat Edwards and myself, David Clark, a former social worker. We come together every week for topical discussions in which we share our experience, strength, and hope about everyday life. From depression to connection, we cover all the issues you feel and see as you walk life's sacred journey. Listeners are encouraged to call in and contribute to the show because we all have hard-earned wisdom we need to share. Join us every week at the same day and time. And for today's show, we'll be talking about the topic of taking responsibility for our lives. And we're also going to segue into what causes people to seek advice from readers and mental health professionals without acting on their suggestions, and then going back for more advice without doing the required work. So please feel free to participate or just to listen. And by readers, I'm talking about spiritually gifted people such as psychics, mediums. And so I wanted to clarify that. Kat is one of those, but please be aware that she's not doing readings on this show. This is a topical discussion, and you're all welcome to join in the discussion tonight. And so let me welcome Kat. We've been chatting, and Kat, let me ask you, if I didn't already, how are you tonight?
I'm good, if not a little tired from my very busy couple of weeks moving house, but I am very good, thank you.
Good. Well, we have had a two-week hiatus. Kat is busily dealing with getting a place ready to be occupied and moving furniture in and lots of cleaning, right?
Yes. We got a place that had been unoccupied for a few months. So when we walked through, we went, oh, it's a bit musty because it's been unoccupied. But you only get like a 10-minute viewing. So we didn't see any outward sort of disgustingness. And we went for the house because it would fit our family. We got it. And then, well, that's when we found out, when we got the keys and we started to actually be there for a while, that's when we found out it was not cleaned. It was not cleaned. So we hired a bond cleaner to come in and give it a good clean, but then we discovered other things. So there's been a lot of incidental cleaning, exterior cleaning, and then we saw that there was a lot of repaired punch marks in walls. So unfortunately, there's been some domestic violence in that house and signs of anger. And we want to have a happy home. We're a happy family and we'd like a happy home. So I've done a cleansing. I saged the place and then I brought in the light. But I'm afraid it also needs a physical cleanse of bleach.
Even though
I had the cleaner do the first bit and I got the most muck, and actually I hired a machine to clean the grout out of the tiles because the dirt in the grout was at the same level as the tiles. There was no dip. So,
oh my
goodness, I'm so tired and sore. But next thing is to one by one go through the rooms, bleach the walls, and put up a lot of removable wall decals so I don't have to look at these punch marks. And I turn it into a happy home. It's a rental, so if we owned it, we'd just rip down the walls and put new gyprock up, but we don't own it, so that's what we're going to do.
Is there an opportunity to rent to own the place or no, if you like it?
No. We want to eventually move out into the more rural areas.
Yeah.
And have some chickens and have a bit of an organic farm.
Nice.
So, yeah. So that having a city house, we don't want to buy it. We just want to live there for a little while and then move on to somewhere that suits us better. I like the Sanford Valley. It's in the hinterland west of Brisbane. Brisbane is surrounded by mountains, and it's in a valley, and the Sanford Valley is sort of northwest of Brisbane, and it's beautiful there. Oh. So I think eventually we might end up there.
That sounds lovely. Just to let you know, Kat, we do have our first caller of the evening, area code 949. Thank you for joining us, and we would welcome you if you feel so inclined. Oops, there they go. Shy. Very shy. So I guess I shouldn't have said anything. Yeah, that's the way the ball bounces. So, well, you know, my hat's off to you. I know what a task it is getting ready to move, and it sounds like you've had a lot of unexpected challenges connected to getting the place ready to move into.
Yes, and it's delayed us moving out of where we're at because we're not interested in having our children living in a place that's not cleaned.
Yeah.
And we've got a lot more cleaning ahead of us, but all our stuff's out of storage and in the house, and but the bedrooms are empty.
Well, our caller has called back, and I don't want to scare you off, but if you are willing to participate later on and have something you'd like to share or questions or comments you'd like to make, we'll welcome you later in the show. As I announced beforehand, we're talking about taking responsibility for our lives tonight. And one of the things that I would like to state at the beginning is an explanation to a question of what it means to take responsibility for your life. And this comes from cleverism.com. Taking responsibility of your life is understanding that you are fully in charge of your own destiny through your own decisions. It means having a clear idea what you want out of life, having a plan on how to achieve it, and consciously making decisions that take you closer to achieving your desires. That really sums it up pretty nicely, doesn't it, Kat, for starting out?
Yes, it does. And it's something that I hold quite high in my list of morals and values that I run by, is taking personal responsibility. And when I see it not happening in others, it lessens my view of them.
Well, you know, there's so many different levels that we can take responsibility. I mean, it's not just our actions. It involves our thoughts. We can take responsibility for those when we are present to the moment and aware of what's going on in our mind. Our feelings, likewise, we can take some responsibility for those. And it's not to say that we want to eliminate certain feelings that don't feel good. It's my feeling or my opinion that it's important to embrace the humanity within ourselves and to recognize that we are sentient, feeling human beings, and that we need to allow the range of emotions, to not try to stuff or run away from feelings, because there's so many ways that you can do that and that I have done that. And our words are so potent. And, you know, there's an expression that says you have two ears and one mouth. And I think that really makes a lot of sense when you think about it. It's important to listen before you speak. So those are my two cents.
I agree, and a lot of the time people want to jump in and get what their thoughts are heard, and that means they're not listening before they speak, and then you have a lot of breakdown in communication, and you have to take personal responsibility for that, because you've reacted and you've jumped in just so you can have your say. But personal responsibility is for anything. And when you own up, I know here in the judicial system here, if somebody owns up, they'll be treated less harshly, depending on their crime, than somebody who obviously did it and denies it. And that's because taking personal responsibility shows a strength of character. Would you agree?
Oh, yes, yes. I think there's a real moral aspect to taking responsibility. And, you know, it all starts with oneself, certainly. And, you know, I agree with you, Kat, that when you see somebody that's not doing that, when I see somebody that's not doing that, it lessens my opinion of them. And, you know, there's so many different ways that a person can skulk responsibility. And shall we explore some of that now, Kat?
Yes, absolutely. What were you thinking?
Well, I have a list I'm working from, but a lot of these things came to mind anyhow, and I think one of the biggest ones was to stop blaming. We need to, first of all, I think, stop blaming ourselves, for there's so many ways that we can beat ourselves up over things that are out of our control that have happened in our past, and I'm specifically referring to that. But I think we have to really stop blaming other people for things that are our own issues. I can think of a friend of mine, God bless him. He keeps focusing on something that happened to him 40 years ago. And I'm just using him as an extreme example because he comes back to it over and over. And I know he's not listening, so I'm just going to run the basic scenario by you. He was an alcoholic, and he was fired from a job that had been very fulfilling to him, and was... let's just say that it was a job that defined his life, without getting into the specifics. And he, 40 years later, is still bemoaning it. Now, they ostensibly did not fire him because of his alcoholism. There were other things that they picked at that weren't really based in reality, and he couldn't understand what it was about, and he figured that it had to do with the alcohol, and I'm sure that's what the case was, but alcohol was never mentioned, and it turns out that his superior also had a drinking problem, so that might have been part of the problem, but at any rate, he keeps coming back to this, and of course he's upset, justifiably, that he was not given a chance to take responsibility for recovery from alcohol, if that was indeed the issue. But he just can't get past that. And, you know, the thing is, you know, people do get fired for drugs and alcohol, and there are consequences to that kind of behavior. And people need to be in a place where they except if there are consequences for that kind of behavior, addictive behavior. So, you know, it's kind of a two-edged sword, but that's an example, and he complains about it all the time. That's another thing that involves shirking responsibility. You know, I think that people need to get over whatever is troubling them, get it off their chest and move on, and to stop bemoaning their supposed fate. What do you think, Kat?
Yes, and in the beginning when something's really hurt you and you have to work through it, I think that it's rude of somebody else to tell you to shut up and get on with it. But after 40 years, it's time to start to rewire the brain. That's become river in the neural pathway. The neural network has now got that constant thought pattern carved into it. And so for someone like him, and I've certainly met a fair share of people who live in the past as well, the answer is to catch yourself. You have to be self-aware, and you need to catch yourself when it happens, and then tell yourself that you forgive yourself. Now, there may be other people involved, and they most likely are, but you need to put love back into you. And so then you would distract yourself with something that you love. And, you know, if you can, you could go and talk about it with a mental health professional and get it out of your system so that you can feel more and more fulfilled in other areas. But the distraction technique is excellent for creating new neural pathways. And, you know, there's a lot of NLP techniques that you can use, but that's a narrative that he has running through his mind. And so another thing that you could do for someone like him is to imagine a different outcome and to rewrite the outcome. You cannot change the past, but in narrative therapy, you would take the narrative that the person is running with now, and just like you would rewrite a dream so it has a different outcome, you would rewrite the memory so it has a different outcome. Of course, you make sure the person isn't in a delusion about the memory, but you rewrite the memory so it has a different outcome where everything's even Stevens. And it helps them, you know, he needs help to take personal responsibility for his part, but I think what the maddening thing is that he didn't really know why, and he's sort of trying to understand, and it was defining of who he is. So, he'd worked hard to get into that position, and then suddenly he's got this terrible thing that happens to him. And the alcohol is a symptom of something else that had been going on in his life, because we don't self-medicate without reason, you know. So he has dealt with that from what you've told me. So he's taken some personal responsibility, but now he really needs to dive into forgiveness of himself and to let go of that whole story so that he can turn around and see all the good that's in his life now.
Well, you know, unfortunately, that's something that he's having a lot of difficulty doing. And he had been in AA for a long time, and he stopped doing it because he wasn't drinking anymore and he thought he was cured. And he's essentially a dry drunk, meaning that he has all the emotional behaviors of an active drinker without actually drinking. And one of the things that he does is that he takes things very personally. And if somebody does speak to him and say, well, you know, maybe there's another way of looking at this, or, you know, I certainly agree with you wholeheartedly. It is important to have a soundboard and to get things off your chest and to have somebody that is empathetic and can be there for you in the beginning. But, you know, if you don't get over something, it only gnaws at you. And when people have suggested that he might try to move on or find a different perspective, he orders them out of his life. So, you know, that's another thing that I was reading and had not stopped to think of, and that is, when you refuse to take things personally, then you are taking some responsibility for your life. If you do take things personally, then I think you need to sit down and examine whatever it is that's going on. And just backing up, Kat, you talked about NLP. Can you explain what that is? I know what it is.
For those who don't know, it's neuro-linguistic programming. And I studied it as part of my diploma in life coaching. And it's reprogramming the brain. So the brain has neural pathways, and it gets, you know, the saying mindset, I have a mindset. It's the set way that your mind is thinking. So it's altering the way that those neural pathways are running. Even if you can just do it for a few minutes in session with somebody, it can be enough to brighten their mind and give them a way to think differently, so that that regular neural pathway becomes weaker. And when it's weakened just a bit, it's like diverting a river. I like to think of neural pathways as rivers of electricity, because when you look at the brain and you see that that's what it is doing, it's firing all sorts of electrons, neurons, and it actually looks like a big thunderstorm when it's lit up. So you're jolting the old way of thinking out of balance and putting it into a new positive way of thinking. And you're also arising the individual out of that lower mind into the higher mind. So you're wanting to bring them up into their prefrontal cortex and into where they're able to think with reason, but also with compassion about themselves and about others, rather than, and I'm very tired, so I'm sorry if I'm not giving the brain anatomy correctly, but I'm pretty sure it's called the cerebellum at the bottom of their brain. It's like their little brain, and that is the reptilian brain. And that's where a lot of your fight, flight, and freeze is kept, and is also where your unconscious computer running of the body is. You know, that's where you don't have to think about it. Your heart's beating and you're breathing, and the ventricles are pumping, and the sphincters are opening and shutting, and everything's working, and you don't have to do anything about it. It's all run from the small part of the brain at the spine brainstem there. So when we go into a survival mode, we tend to go into that part of the brain and stay there. So we're jolting them out of that. We're jolting them out of a neural pathway that is a negative thinking, using certain techniques that are quite easy, like there's one where you can draw a circle, an imaginary circle, and get them to jump into it with their new life in mind. So there's certain techniques that you can use. They're uplifting, but they're also getting that brain to change. You see Susan Milan do it with dogs. I was thinking, oh, are you using NLP on that dog?
Mm-hmm.
So it's getting the brain to change those neural pathways to change into a more positive route. And they're there. They're there, but they're very, very weak and thin at first. If there's definitely the strong, hard, angry at the world pathway, but we just start to build it, and we build it, and we build it, and slowly as we build one, we're cutting off that waterway, we're cutting off that electron waterway from the hard river of negative thinking, and we're creating a little branch off creek, and then we're starting to build that, and it becomes a river. And then the negative thinking becomes the weakened creep that begins to dry up. And the person starts to think in a more positive way. That's the theory. It doesn't always work, because we have to take personal responsibility, which is what we're talking about today. And you can go to a practitioner, a mental health person or a reader or someone who has insight and has done the education, and, you know, they've done the years of work to help you. And you can ask for all this help. You can do all these exercises with them and then walk away and do nothing at home. That's not taking personal responsibility, and you will not get any better. You will just stay. You will trade water. And you can't blame your therapist. You can't blame your reader. You can't blame the person who's given you the help, because they've got all of their heart into what they do. Otherwise, they shouldn't be there. And they've done the hard yards. They've gone to college. They've gone to the school of life. They've gone to the school of hard knocks. And they've put all of their wisdom together and given it to you and said, here, this is the way forward. But if you don't take it up, you do nothing about it, that's your own fault. That's not their fault. And, you know, in this time where everybody's so bloody precious, you know, people need to snap out of it and start to accept that you've got your own personal responsibility and you need to grow up a bit. You want to change your life, grow up.
Amen. I couldn't agree more. And I'm going to come at it from the stance of talking a little bit about my past. And people who've listened to the show before know some of my story. But I have been guilty of doing what Kat just said you should not do. Or let's put it this way, it behooves you to take charge of your life and move forward instead of staying stuck and not following the advice of sage people who are offering, as you say, their wisdom and their knowledge of how you can move forward in your life. I was guilty of, and I say that without casting blame on myself, by the way. I don't believe that guilt serves any purpose other than to wake you up to the fact that there's some things you can do to change your behavior and make amends. The shame is the worst part, and that there's nothing good about shame. It's toxic, and it's easy when you're looking at the past to beat yourself up. I think that's a natural response, and I choose not to do it, and I rarely do it anymore. Although I'm getting a little off topic here, but I just want to say that at one point in my life, just prior to understanding that I had a problem with alcohol and acknowledging that I was an alcoholic, a friend of mine who was in AA, and I didn't know they were in AA, I had a long conversation with them, and they said to me, this person said to me, stop beating yourself up. And I didn't have a clue as to what he was saying. I didn't realize that I did that, and I did it unmercifully. And nobody needs to do that to themselves. So obviously I've got a thing about shame. But where I was going to go with my story was that I had years of thinking I had a problem with alcohol. I had people suggest that I take a look at that. In fact, at the age of 24, I went to a workshop that had it was dealing with people with alcohol problems, and there was a self-test that you could take to see if you might have a problem. Well, I scored nearly 100% on that, but I got back into my closet of denial, and it took me another 9 years before I was really ready to accept responsibility for that. And I've done that in other ways in my life, too. And I think everybody has done that in smaller, bigger ways. The point is that unless we take the advice that's given to us and apply it, or at least try to apply it, we're never going to move forward, or we're less likely to move forward. I shouldn't say never. That's something that I wanted to share from my own perspective. And I also wanted to welcome a friend who's come into the studio tonight. Her name is Eleanor, and Eleanor will be coming to you a little bit later. Thank you for joining us. Kat, is there anything further you would like to say connected to people that don't take the advice of their therapist and then go back out there and keep doing the same thing over and over? And the definition of insanity, I've heard it said, is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, well, you see, I mean, you and I have both been around the radio scene, internet radio scene, for a decade now. And how often do you see these people, they jump from one radio show to the next talking to readers to get advice? And I've had them, when I had my first radio show, the Spiritual Workshop, I started to see what was going on, where I'd see them talk to me or my guest, and then I'd be the guest on other people's radio show, and the same person would ring in. And this is when I started to find out this is what was going on. And so they just ring in and ask the same question and put the same blame, and never, ever, ever listen to the good advice that was given to them, because they wanted to believe that somebody else was to blame, that there was a problem with someone else, and that the answer did not lay within themselves. And the old saying, can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. Can you imagine how frustrating it would be to be a spirit guide to somebody like that? I mean, you've got to think about that old saying, feather brick truck. So, the great spirit tickles you with a feather to get you to notice the answer, and you don't notice. So then they throw a brick at you to get you to notice. Hey, listen to me. No. So you get hit by a truck, and then you might notice.
If you're lucky. Yeah.
Don't do that. Don't go from reader to reader to reader. Some readers will get the bang on the money with the advice, and others won't, and that's because they're only human. But the majority of them will say the same bloody thing to you time and time and time again. And what you need to do is stop. Because the energy feels like you're in a panic when you're going from reader to reader to reader, or from psychologist to psychologist, or counselor to counselor. You're in a panic. And when you're in a panic, you're not thinking. You're metaphorically running around with eyes darting everywhere and your arms above your head. That's what you're doing. Stop. Stop everything. Just stop, sit, and be. And just ask no one anything anymore. Go within. Start staring at the wall and just being alone with your own conscience. It's your higher self. It's that part of you that won't let you sleep if you've done wrong. It's your conscience. It's your consciousness. It's the deepest part of you. It's your truth. While you're going and seeking it everywhere else, you're not hearing it from within. And maybe you don't want to. Too bad. Got to grow up. So you start listening to it. And then the answers will come. And the next time you do seek a reader, all they're doing is helping you to access that deep knowledge from within, till eventually you don't need readers ever in your life, except an odd occasion. And, that's so important. The other thing is readers get to know the ones that do this, and, they're not going to have respect for you. They roll their eyes. So if you're somebody or you know somebody who does this, stop. Tell them to stop if they'll listen to you. But the answer is to stop and be and listen to yourself, your truth within, and stop asking for help outside. Then when you're ready to go for help, you're in a more humble place. Right, so something tragic and horrible has befallen you. while you're running around going, I need the answer, you're not listening to your deeper self. When you've done that work, then go seek the advice. You come from a humble place. You come from a place ready and willing to listen. And then when they give you the advice, you're able to go away and take it on. That's the answer. Excuse me, I need to have a little cough.
That's okay. Well, I think that when you do that, then you start to build confidence. And I like what you were saying about finding that place of inner peace and that calm. I think that's so important. And the other thing is setting that power of intention that you can move beyond whatever place it's in that you feel stuck. Intention is a very powerful way of moving forward and into the space that you would like to occupy. I was reading that responsible behavior is made up of five essential elements, with honesty and compassion, as you've talked about, Kat, being first and foremost. Also, the other elements, and this comes from canvas.infrastructure.com, the other elements are fairness, accountability, and courage. It takes a lot of courage to change. And if somebody's coming to a reader or a therapist, presumably they're looking for change of some kind or another. But I, on my radio show, I have probably 5 or 6 callers, and I should write down their phone numbers because they do exactly what you're saying, Kat. They ask the same questions over and over, and this has been going on for years for a few of them. And they're just, they get advice. They have their situations reflected upon, and they are given some hope, and then they don't take it anywhere. They just come back looking for more. And in the meantime, they're doing nothing. And it's sad, but so many people are caught up in that trap, and there's no way out of the mouse trap when you put yourself in it like that.
Well, the answer is don't go in the mouse trap in the first place, but if you're going to go in, then you're in, accept it. And that, as you said, set an intention to get out. And because, you know, the mouse trap can be wound back, but who's going to wind it back for you? Only you can. Only your higher self, your conscience, your deepest part of you can give you the answers to wind it back. And it might be that you have to go through a process that you don't particularly like to get back to where you want to be. So you just got to own up and face it, go with it.
I like what you said about acceptance, because I heard an expression in Alcoholics Anonymous that really spoke to me, and that is acceptance is the answer to all of my problems today. Now, I've tweaked that, and I say acceptance is the answer to all of my solutions today, because I don't want to live in the problem. I mean, the whole point of dealing with the mousetrap is to focus on solutions, and there is a solution to every problem, and usually more than one. And it comes back to the individual taking that responsibility to find a way. And I shouldn't have said you can't get out of the mousetrap. I mean, that's a metaphor. Of course, a mouse, if it gets caught in a mousetrap, is a goner. But we don't have to be that way. There is a solution to the problem, and that's for you to figure out, hopefully with a little help from your friends, and you'll take that advice and you will try a different way.
Yes, let's hope so, because, it's cost a lot of money to go and see these people as well. And they charge because they've done the work, as I said earlier, You know, you expect to pay a surgeon a certain fee. Why? Because they went to university for a very long time. Some surgeons not only go to university for 7+ years, some are still studying their craft after 10 to 15 years. They also have extremely expensive exams that they have to go through. I overheard a cardiac surgeon talking about a $30,000 exam that they had to do. So, you know, you're paying the money to them and you expect to. So you need to expect to pay the money to your mental health professional and your reader, because they've been through all of this education as well, not obviously as a surgeon has, but in their own way they have too. They've usually gone to college. They've gone and learned all the information they can get there. They've also done informal study. They will have done workshops. They will have also done other mini courses. They would have gotten certified in lots of different things. They have had all the experience in their own lives that they've had to deal with. If you're in that field, then I can guarantee you've been through the school of hard knocks. If you have not, then don't go into that field, because you can't have that compassion that is necessary without having experienced stuff yourself. And, you know, the answer is to show them some respect and to listen to what they have to say. However, it's expensive, as I said, to go from one to the other to the other, which I think is why once people who like to do this, who like to go reader hopping or counsellor hopping, they find out the radio shows have free readings, so you know they just start settling on them because they don't have to pay the money, they just pay for their internet connection. And it's a poor reflection on your character, unfortunately, because you get known. You don't maybe don't realise it, but you do get known, and you're not doing the work, and that's the thing that you're getting known for. You're not doing the work. And the work is listen to what is being said, go away, sit down, be still, be quiet, intend to understand it, and intend to listen to your inner self in your truth, and intend to change for the better. And then when you go and see your reader next time, you go for something completely different, and you get an answer that is more positive because you're having a more positive experience. So the reader is only reading the energy of the story of your life. You're the one in control of how that the story of your life comes to pass, not the reader. They are not the one in control of that. You are.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think we should take time, if you're willing, Kat, to shift gears to go to the phone lines and see if either of our callers have anything that they'd like to share. And I'm going to come first to area code 949. I don't know who this is, but if you would just give us your first name, and if there's any questions, comments you'd like to share, please feel free to. Hi, what is your name, please? Okay, perhaps you don't. Are you muted? I'll give you an opportunity to unmute. If you don't want to say anything, that's fine too. One more time, area code 949, would you like to say anything? Okay, well, thank you for calling in. One thing I wanted to say, Kat, if you don't mind, is I think that hopping from therapist to therapist or reader to reader does not behoove you, but to start out, I think it's important to find somebody that you resonate with, that you feel like you can work with. Eleanor, I'm coming to you.
Yeah.
Hi, Eleanor.
Hi, Kat. Hi, Dave.
Hi.
Hi, I missed you guys.
Oh, missed you too, honey. Is there anything you'd like to say about the topic that we're discussing tonight?
Well, I need a lot of practice in doing what my physical therapist wants me to do. I'm inconsistent, and I don't have a lot of faith in the process. I don't believe that the exercises will do that good. And that is a real holdback, I understand, in getting rid of the arthritis. I sing in a choir, a community choir, and this lady, who's an older lady like me, sat beside me, and she said, I noticed you're walking on a walker, and your hands shake a little bit. She said, I'm an acupuncturist, and I think I can help you. And I said, I'm sorry, ma'am. I really don't have the funds to support that. And she said, don't worry. We'll let Allah take care of that. Let me do it. Yeah. Let me do it 4 to 6 times, and we'll see what happens. And she started me on a plan. But now that COVID is in operation, she can't do it. But when she comes to get out of COVID, she will. But she did about 6 sessions, and all the pain disappeared.
Wonderful.
I don't know how, but I'm not in any pain. Now I've got to do the physical exercises so that I can walk again.
Well, you know, the one observation I would make, if that's okay, is that you placed your faith in the acupuncturist, and perhaps that's the same thing you need to do with the physical therapist.
That's a good idea.
What do you think, Kat?
Yeah, I agree. What a blessing. What a wonderful thing to have happened for you. But if you think about it as you've been given this blessing with the acupuncture, paying back the energy by following through with the exercises from the physical therapist. So even though the acupuncturist isn't taking any financial payment, she is taking payment from you by you doing the work that the physio has asked you to do. And coupling the two together will be the life-changing experience that you need. Does that make sense?
Yes, that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's wonderful.
Well, you know, I appreciate your honesty, Eleanor. I mean, that's one of the key ingredients that I was reading about. And I think that perhaps the part that needs to come into play is certainly the action part. And that, you know, you encourage. Courage, I think, is very important. It takes a lot of courage to change, and it takes a lot of courage to consider something that you haven't done in the past, especially if you're not feeling the faith that something will work for you. But, you know, I encourage you to follow through with that and see where it leads. It can't hurt.
No, it can't. I want to walk again without assistance.
Right, right. That would be a wonderful thing, and you deserve that. If there's any hope, you deserve that, and there's always hope. You know, we can't always get to the exact goal that we want to meet, but we do need to set goals for ourselves. Don't you agree, Kat?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. It gives us something to strive for, something to wake up in the morning for, and then it doesn't need to be very long before we start to see a change for the better. And we can take a big goal and chunk it down into small, tiny goals. And so every day you might have three tiny goals to stretch. If you, for example, had three body parts that the physio wanted you to stretch, or three exercises that the physio wanted you to do, you could have one in the morning after breakfast, one at lunch after breakfast, and one at dinner. And every time that you put sustenance into your body, you also give the body sustenance by doing the stretching. So you're feeding yourself in many ways there. And it takes a big mountain goal and the overwhelm of that away and brings it into something smaller and easier to manage. And that might help as well.
And it's one thing to go and see the physical therapist, but unless you follow through and do the work, you're not going to make any progress. I've discovered that myself. I've been in physical therapy several times for different physical issues, and it's only been the times when I've taken it seriously and I've done the daily exercises the way they're prescribed that I've made any advancement. And that comes back to what we were talking about with regards to therapists and readers, too. I mean, there's the body, there's the mind, there's the spirit. They all work together. And so, you know, I know you're a woman of faith, Eleanor. And I know that you want help. And I know that you're a capable person, that you're a discerning, intelligent person. And I know that you're a willing person, that you're open. And so those are all qualities that you can apply to the task before you. And it's the follow-through that's important. We've been talking about that tonight, how important that is. Because otherwise, we just keep coming back to the same point over and over and getting nowhere.
Yeah.
And she, yeah. How do you feel about that, Eleanor?
I feel that's precisely what I'm looking for to discover, because I haven't been taking responsibility for my walking, and I would like to. It's almost like there's a light on my feet that I keep stepping on and dimming. And what was said brings the light above my soul on the bottom of my shoe. And I really thank both Dave and you for being so kind, but yet so honest.
Well, I thank you for your honesty, too. Go ahead, sorry.
I don't think anyone in my social circle or my spiritual circle or my ancestors who passed on with the last words, please lose weight, Eleanor, for your health. I'm an entertainer. I need to lose weight for my health, but I need to lose weight so I can move like an actor. And remember what I'm supposed to do.
Well, Eleanor, I know that you like stories, and I know you like children's stories, that you were very involved with that in your professional life. And I was thinking of The Little Engine That Could. I'm sure you know that story.
My favorite.
I think I can. I know I can. And I know you can do it. I have faith in you. Like I said, I appreciate your honesty. And now it's up to you. It's all up to you. What do you think?
Yeah, it is. It is all up to me.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's that old expression, God helps those who help themselves, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, however you want to conceive of a higher power, it's there for us. It's there for us to heal us and move us on, move us in a forward direction. And so So I thank you for joining us tonight.
Well, thank you. I am so happy to have caught you.
Oh. Well, bless you.
Oh, my love, Eleanor. And
thank
I love
you.
I just want to say I really love your visualization of the light in the sole of your feet. And I would wonder if you could ask that light what it represents. Does it represent the way that you used to move, you know, when you were a young group of person? Does it represent joy? What does it represent to you? And really magnify that in your mind. Really, really make it something very powerful for you. And make it your friend. Start to feel like there's an emotional investment in that light in your feet. And that you know that if you don't do the exercises, then you're letting it down. And so you don't want to let your friends down. So that means you don't want to let that light in your feet down. So you'll do the work to make the light feel happier and happier and brighter and brighter. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, so if you can do that exercise and just start to feel like the light is in something that you're emotionally invested in, that it's your friend and that you have a reason to keep going because you don't want to let it down, even when things get tough, you'll start to see positive results and you'll start to feel better and you'll die well. You won't die sick. You'll be an old person asleep and off you'll go. You won't be having tubes hanging out of your body and drugs in your system and horribleness. You'll have just a simple, easy passing one day because you put the effort in now. And it's something that I know a lot of people don't want to think about that, but it's inevitable for us all, me included. And what we do today, we'll see how we go when it's time for us to leave. So when we put in the effort into our body, then the body, when it eventually is expiring, it's well when it expires. It's bereft of illness. And that's what we want. It just simply is finished. And that can happen for you, Eleanor, that simple, I'm done now. And you're blessed. You're absolutely blessed. And so remember that. And put that effort into the relationship you have with that light in your feet and remember that it's the most important relationship that you have in your life is your relationship with yourself.
You have the heart, mind, and soul connection down pat, Eleanor. It's just the physical aspect that you need to take charge of, as I see it, because you have a wonderful heart. You're very compassionate with yourself and with others, and you know what you need to do, and you have a strong faith that all is well. And so now just nudge the body forward. That's all, as I see it.
Uh-huh.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we're going to go into meditation now, and thank you again for joining us. Having the courage to talk about your issue. I really appreciate that.
Do I stay for meditation or is it time for me to get off?
No, you stay, honey. I'm going to mute your microphone and Kat's going to do the meditation tonight, but you'll stay with us as long as you stay on the phone.
Okay.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Okay, for those of us who are left listening to the show, thank you for staying through the show. Appreciate it. And if you can get comfortable sitting, laying, have a little wriggle, get yourself all sort of settled. And take a long, deep breath in and feel the weight of your feet being held by gravity, and it's relaxing. And another deep breath in and feel the weight of your legs being held by gravity, and it's comforting. And another deep breath in and feel the weight of your bottom and your torso being held by gravity, and it's soothing. And another deep breath in and feel the weight of your arms and hands and shoulders being supported by gravity, and it feels kind. And last deep breath in, the weight of your head being supported by gravity, and it feels soft and secure. You're completely relaxed now. So comfortable and secure. And you're in such a good place within yourself. So safe. Now, it's something that you'd love to have. A situation, a belonging, a circumstance, a friendship, something that you'd love to have that will change your life for the better, an alternative reality that will make you feel better because it's the reality that you would love to have. And just know that it's there. Let's not go into it yet. It's there. Okay. Let's just focus on what is right now. I'm so grateful because I have shoes. I'm so grateful because I have the ground beneath me. I am so grateful because birds sing in the morning. I am so grateful because I had a device I could hear David and Kat's radio show from. I'm so grateful that I have been able to communicate with others. I'm so grateful that I had something to drink today. I'm so grateful I have my new life, the thing that I desire the most in my life now. I'm so grateful that when it came to me, it fell into place. I'm so grateful that I am blessed with this new experience, which is for my better, for my highest good. And that all that are around me benefit from my happiness, as do I. I am so grateful that all has come to pass in the most positive, kind, and compassionate way. These are the three aspects of thinking that we need when we want to make a change in our life. We think on what we know is true, that has come to pass, in the recent past, things that are real. Shoes, ground, the birds. We think on something that happened today in the most recent past as being real. And then we think on the thing that we want to occur as having happened, and that it is real. Now the final thing, as we go deep within, and we touch that part of ourselves that is our conscience, our inner being. Ask, what must I do to bring forward my wishes to come true? What must I do to bring forward my wishes to come true? What must I do to bring forward my wishes to come true? And then listen. Let it well up. It may not happen right now. You may get a reason to think on it later. The answer will come from within. Know it to be true. And feel settled in yourself. Feel centered and settled. Doesn't that feel good? To be centered and settled. Peaceful. Kind to yourself. Come back to this feeling whenever you need. Take it daily as part of your constitutional life elixir to come into this place and feel centered and settled so that you may be well. And when you're ready, open your eyes. Are you there, David?
I'm here. I was just giving everybody a chance to open their eyes. I think you've opened them. Thank you so much. That was beautiful.
Well, I know that maybe I was a bit hard on some people today, but sometimes we need to snap out of it and take personal responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And other times with someone like Eleanor, it's just a matter of listening to what they have to say and steering them in the direction that they need to be in, and watch and see.
Absolutely.
Have faith.
Absolutely. I hear a little one.
Yes, I've got both my children home sick.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
I'm sorry. She couldn't hold off sitting on my lap any longer.
Oh, well, that's sweet. Very sweet. Well, I just wanted to invite people to like us on our Facebook page, The Healing Circle with David Clark and Kat Edwards. And if you have any comments to make, please make them and let us know. We welcome any requests for topics that you would like to have discussed on the show, and you can do that there as well. And is there anything else you'd like to say, Kat, before we close?
Yeah, be kind to yourself and be kind to each other.
That's perfect. Well, thank you, Kat, and thank you for listening, people, tonight and today, wherever you are. We appreciate your support and your loving thoughts and participation. Thank you, Eleanor.
Thank you.
And thank you, area code 949, for calling in tonight. Good night, everybody.